Here we find in Acts chapter 10 the salvation of a soldier. We have to go through chapters 10 and 11 to find out completely what this man was told that he needed to do in order to be saved. But first of all, it had to be that Simon Peter, a gospel preacher, had to come to him and tell him words whereby he and all his house might be saved, Acts 11, verses 14 and 15. That, however, really has nothing to do with the fact of what we're going to study this morning about how a soldier was saved. I've read in a couple of different bulletins about a soldier stationed in Iraq, and his name was PFC Swigert. I thought that the story was a little bit outrageous as far as believing it to be true or not, because this man serving as a soldier came in contact with a sniper. Now you're going to have an unknown individual who is going to be firing at you, and therefore he's unknown. So what happens when these two come in conflict with one another? Undoubtedly, because of the stealth nature of the sniper, he's going to have a great advantage, because this PFC Swigert was with his fellow soldiers trying to do something with a tank. So the advantage goes to the sniper as far as what he's going to do, and he had that advantage because he shot PFC Swigert. But there was a savior. PFC Swigert, according to the news articles, not just the bulletin articles that I read, was shot through the left arm, went through his chest cavity, and then lodged into a Bible that he was carrying. The thing in the newspaper article said that without doubt, the bullet would have continued to ricochet off his vest and would have probably gone back into his chest and killed him. But because he was carrying a Bible with him, it says that's what saved his life. The Bible needs to be seen as what we need to save our lives. This individual had his physical life saved because of carrying a Bible with him, and yet we need to see the importance of the Bible in our lives. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus told those that were following him, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which do testify of me." Jesus said the importance of the Old Testament for the Jew was this: you'll find evidence, you'll find proof, you'll find what you need to know, but if you do not search the Scriptures, you're not going to find that eternal life. Brethren, our desire ought to be eternal life with God. But without the Bible, we have no idea and no concept of how to find it. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, "This is the promise which He has promised you, even the hope of eternal life." The Bible needs to be our guide. It needs to be that which we follow if we are going to be saved. Second, in Acts chapter 5, verse 20, in actuality, you need to read the context of chapters 4 and 5, because the council, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders have come to Peter and the other apostles and said, "We do not want you preaching or teaching in this man's name anymore. We'll put you in jail. We'll beat you. We'll send you out and tell you to do the same thing. Don't preach." But it says of these men, regardless of the consequence, that they were in the temple preaching the words of life. The Bible is what they were using, the Word of God, to tell them how to find that life. Finally, we have in Philippians 2, verse 16, Paul says that we ought to be those as God's children who are holding forth the Word of life. That is, in this crooked and perverse generation, this nation in which we ought to live a blameless life, holding forth the Word of life. if you don't know the importance of the Bible, if you haven't come to grasp how valuable it is, I wonder what P.F.C. Zweigert thinks about that Bible that he'd been carrying. In regard to his physical life of what it did for him, do we see the spiritual of searching the Scriptures? Do we see the importance of the words of life and holding it forth? This morning's lesson really is going to involve three different points as we relate to the matter of this soldier and seeing in our own life. Number one, there had first of all been a reception. In the newspaper article, it said this was the Bible that he was given in basic training. Now, it wouldn't have been a large Bible like this. It was a small enough Bible, probably just a New Testament, and also Psalms and Proverbs maybe, that he would be able to put within his vest. But he had to receive it. I would imagine there were probably some who went through that line as those Bibles were being handed out. They probably said, no, I don't want that. What good's that going to do me? I don't need it. Brethren, we need to see in our spiritual need of receiving the Word of God. In James chapter 1, verse 21, we are to lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save our souls. What good is this book going to do me? What value is it going to be? We may scoff and we may ridicule it. We may make fun of it that there's nothing good about it, much less being able to help us. But if we are going to be those who are saved, then we have got to receive this book. Now there's more to it than just simply saying, okay, I've got a Bible. Now I'm saved. It doesn't work that way, does it? He says you ought to receive with meekness. That is, with a humility of mind that says, teach me, instruct me, tell me what to do. And that's exactly what those in Thessalonica did. We're going to look first of all in Acts chapter 17 verse 11 and then go to 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 to see the radical difference between these verses. Acts 17 verse 30. These, that is the Bereans, were more noble than those of Thessalonica. Now that's where we're going in just a minute, to the book of Thessalonians. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now the Bereans are the ones commended. They're the ones who are being held up as an example because they received the Word of God. And they did so with readiness of mind. And then they searched the Scriptures as well. Now here are the Bereans in contrast to the Thessalonians, but look at the change that must have taken place. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. Paul says, I thank God that when I preached to you, you received it not as it were the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God which effectually works in you. Do you see the difference? While the Bereans in Acts 17 are commended and exalted and held up as an example, something must have happened to the Thessalonians because they then turn and also receive it as it is in truth, God's Word. Brethren, this is just not a book to occupy space on our table. It's not a book just for us to say, well, you know, I've got a Bible. This is not just a book for us to simply say, well, you know, I've got one. It is a book that we are to receive and to use. Second of all, not only is it true about the matter of reception, but don't you imagine that even after these folks had walked through that line and as they were receiving other things, they were given this Bible, some may have said, well, I don't want anybody to see me with it. You know, it's good to have, but I don't want anybody to know that I'm carrying a Bible around with me. It takes a lot of courage for someone to live like a Christian. Because it doesn't take a lot of effort for somebody to walk around with a can of beer in their hand. It doesn't take a lot for somebody to walk around with cigarettes in their hand. It doesn't take a lot of effort for somebody to walk around with a magazine full of pornography. You see, there are a lot of things that our world today isn't ashamed of, and we want to accept as, you know, that's great. You're a man. You can do what you want to now. And here you have soldiers. But this boy could have said, I'm a little bit ashamed for somebody to see me with a Bible. If we can't carry our Bible wherever we're going, then we ought not go there probably. If we're afraid to let people know that we're a Christian and that we believe the Bible, then we ought not be doing it. But this individual, because he was not ashamed, he had his Bible with him, it saved his life. Acts 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Brethren, if we're ashamed of the Bible, then we ought to be ashamed. We ought to be those that gladly rejoice in the fact that we live in a country where we can take our Bible wherever we want to. We can carry it with us wherever we want to go. We can listen to it. We can read it. We can study it. Paul says we ought not be ashamed of it. But suppose we are. Do we not then lose our ability to be protected? In the Ephesian armor described in the gospel armor in Ephesians chapter 6, he says that we are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Brethren, we ought not be ashamed of the Scriptures, because to be ashamed of the Scriptures is to be ashamed of the Christ who gave them to us. To be ashamed of this Bible is to be ashamed of our brothers and sisters in Christ. But you see, if this individual had said, you know, I think I'll just leave it with my other gear. I won't bother taking it with me. And then that man's life may have been lost. Jesus, as described in Matthew chapter 4, defeated the temptations of Satan because he said, it's written, it is written, it is written. Well, that doesn't mean that we always have to carry a Bible with us, but it does mean that we need to have to carry it with us in our mind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul commends these people because he says, you are our epistle, written on our hearts, known and read of all men. It is, you're living the gospel. You're the only gospel some people may see. You're the Bible for them. But if we're ashamed, we won't worry about it. We won't be concerned. We won't put forth the effort. So number one, we need to be those that receive it. Number two, we need to be those that are not ashamed. Finally, then, there is the need of the Bible being close to our heart. This man physically had that Bible there. But isn't it true of us that we need to have this Word in us? Physically, this man saved his life because he had that nearness. The psalmist in Psalm 119, 11, and numerous other places, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." It is, I'm going to use it as protection for my soul. I'm going to use this as a way to make sure that I'm safe. This soldier, P.F.C. Zweigert, could have said and reasoned like a lot of people, "I'm thousands of miles away from home. Nobody's going to know. Mom and Dad aren't going to be aware if I'm reading my Bible or not. They're not going to know if I carry it with me. I'm tired of people making fun of me." But we're to be those that genuinely love the Word of God. And therefore it is in our heart, because we read it and we study it. Paul, the old soldier of the cross, was telling the young Timothy, a soldier of the cross, "Meditate upon these things." 1 Timothy 4:13. Could he do that without knowing something about it? Could he do that without having that word in his heart? Brethren, the need of God's word in our heart is so valuable. Because according to 1 Peter 3:15, we are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us. A reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Isn't it great when someone asks you a religious question? You can say, I know the answer. Here's where it's found. But then is it also the other way a little embarrassing? For somebody maybe to ask us a simple question, where do you find the book of Deuteronomy? And you don't know. This individual was saved because his Bible was close to his heart. We as soldiers today will be saved because it is in our heart. Because we love the truth. Romans 6:16. God be thanked that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Matthew 22:37. The lawyer came with a question to Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus responded, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. All. There's no doubt. This young man could have substituted probably any other book, and it may have done the same thing. But there is no doubt spiritually that if we try to substitute any other book than the Bible, it will not work. It can't be the huge volumes of the doctrines of men. It can't be based upon the feelings and thoughts of our mind. What we do if we're going to be saved must be based upon the Word of God and how we receive it. And whether or not we're going to be ashamed of it. And how closely to our heart it remains. What of us this morning? The story is true about P.S.C. Swigert. He is now recuperating and has now been put back on light duty. Some may say and cast doubt about it, but it happened. It's not just a good story, but neither is it for us when we think about the Scriptures. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone. Today, you must receive the Word of God. You must do it because it is the Word of God. It's not the Word of men, but it is the truth. Notice how the connection is made by Jesus in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How does that happen? By following His Word, the Bible. That unknown sniper is representative of Satan today. In John 10:10, the thief is come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I, Jesus said, am come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Satan wants to kill us spiritually. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life. Satan wants you. He's got you in his sights. What are you going to do to keep yourself safe? What are you going to do to save yourself? Receive the Word of God. Be obedient to it. Because Jesus tells us that if we do obey, then we will be saved. It is by faith and repentance, confession of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that we are baptized for the remission of our sins. Saved! I wonder what that young man thought when the doctor said, "You're going to be okay." Jesus says we can be okay if we'll obey Him. Are you ashamed of the Word of God? Are you keeping it close to your heart? If you're not faithful to our Lord this morning, then in repentance and confession of those sins, please don't delay in allowing us to pray for you. You're that soldier. Satan's that sniper. And the salvation comes by obeying the Word of God. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation this morning, then we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.